Thank you, Jesus. Many times when we look at the Lord's plan and His unfolding will, we don't always comprehend. But His abilities to awaken in us, to see His majestic plan of salvation. Throughout the centuries, He was always encouraging His creation not to give up. The menorah and the fifth day is the day of grace for us, because that's what the number five represents. Someone was moved of God to bring this past week, and just very blessed to see that we can put it to work in obedience to God. Anybody know the fullness of the story of why the menorah is being celebrated in this season? Have a little piece of the puzzle. Give us the piece that you know. Jewish holiday. The book of Maccabees, correct?
Oil didn't run out.
The oil didn't run out. The city had been overrun. Peggy?
It's a miracle to them because the oil, it was a small amount.
There was enough for one day.
And it kept burning.
And it kept burning and burning and burning.
7 days.
Yes. Until the fullness of time. Anyone else? The temple had been defiled. Has this temple been defiled? How many have seen some garbage inside periodically? How many have heard a little bit of garbage springing up sometimes? Floats out when you least expect it. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
you are that ever-flowing oil.
You are that ever-flowing oil.
Don't stop flowing.
Don't stop flowing.
And keep bringing to the surface.
Keep bringing to the surface.
All of the things that have defiled me.
All of the things that have defiled me.
I'm asking for your grace this day.
I'm asking for your grace this day.
To cleanse and heal.
To cleanse and heal.
Every corner of my inner man.
My spirit.
My soul.
And my body.
I want it all perfected.
And matured for your glory.
And this menorah represents the light of Christ. Don't let it go dim, Lord.
Let it
get brighter every day. For your glory, my Lord.
For your glory, my Lord.
On the night before, I want to honor the Lord for another piece of information. The last menorah we had, it was a major problem because the wax fell everywhere. Did you guys notice there's no wax flowing? It is literally burning clean. So we're grateful for that. And if you'll agree with me, we're going to blow them out and release them to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I hunt for the Lord and what He wants to the best of my ability when I'm searching His heart. Because I've learned over the years that He does things differently than I would or than I could. Usually, I get surprised. And today, as the first word that came was James. So we're definitely going to look at St. James in our Bibles. And I said, Lord, where and how and what do you want out of James? The next word I heard was amplified. So I went to the Amplified Bible, and this is where we're going. And I heard one verse, number 11. So it says in verse 11, the sun comes up with a scorching heat and parches the grass, its flowers fall off, and its beauty fades away. Even so will the rich man wither and die in the midst of his pursuit. Now, I said, Lord, there's a lot of directions here, and what are you speaking of? And there's a footnote on the Amplified. There's a little parenthesis. So I read it again, and I said, Lord, you're talking about us. You're talking about humanity. You're talking about us providing for ourselves. That's my understanding, right? So the sun comes up with a scorching heat, parches the grass, its flowers fall off, its beauty fades away. Even so will the rich man wither and die in the midst of his pursuit. Now, I know many people that struggle to make ends meet, and they've struggled righteously, they've done their best, they've honored God, and still they focus only on the natural things. They're not conscious of the next life. They're not conscious of their investment in that life. So I'd like you to go with me to Isaiah 40. And in Isaiah verse 40, we're going to look at verse 6. At verse 7, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6 and verse 7. Now Isaiah, actually, he's talking to his people, and he's saying, a voice of one saying, cry, prophesy. And I said, what shall I cry? And the voice answered, proclaim. All flesh is frail as grass, and all that makes it attractive, in parentheses, its kindness, its goodwill, its mercy from God, its glory, its comeliness, however good, closing the parentheses, is transitory like the flowers of the field. In other words, it's not permanent. It transitions, it changes. Amen. Verse 7. The grass withers, the flowers fade. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are as grass. So now you can see the confirming voice. You can see that he's really trying to get us to understand. Verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Now, see the addition? The word of our God will stand for eternity in the afterlife as well as in this life. Now, it's confirmed in James 1:10 and verse 11. So now, if you want to go back, we're going to kind of take a peek back at verse 10. And the rich person ought to glory in being humbled by being shown his human frailty. Because like the flower of the grass, he will pass away. Well, we just lost my sister-in-law. And she was the type of lady that I shared with the family on Saturday that she was in action and she didn't hesitate to obey. When she knew what to do and she knew how to do it, man, watch out, she could take care of it. There was no question about that. She was an efficient person. She was multi-talented. She kept a house that was spotless. And if you were invited for dinner, let me tell you, there was more than one choice for dessert and one choice for food. And she was going to make sure that you had seconds and thirds and you would walk away from the table and hopefully you wouldn't fall asleep. Am I telling you a lie? Okay. Then the party would start. And that's the type of person she was. There was no waste of time. The dishes got zapped away. It didn't take more than a few minutes. She would orchestrate those kids to... I mean, I'm not kidding. All five kids would cooperate, and the next thing you know, there was no dishes to be washed. It was all clean. The kitchen was spotless, and we would go downstairs in their family room, and if it was in the other house, it was in the living room and in the kitchen and in the porches and wherever we could, you know, we could really celebrate life. She was a woman that enjoyed life on every level. And believe me, I believe that she's in the heavens directing traffic right now, making sure that lunch is on time and everything's going to run smooth. Because that's the type of person she was. Okay? So you see, she was rich in her capacities to obey. She was rich if you were in need, if you were poor, if you had nothing, she would make sure that you had something. Whether she had a lot to give or a little to give. Why? Because that's how she was. She was a person with eyes that could see and ears that would hear. Now, did she do everything right? Absolutely not. She made mistakes, just like the rest of us, but she did the best she could, and she was a quality person. So now, we're going to go a little bit deeper, because if you go back to Isaiah, see, we're kind of floating between two scriptures here. It also says 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. So I'd like you to kind of go a little deeper after James. It's the next book, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. The solution to the man that doesn't know what to do with himself when he's wondering what life is all about. Here we have St. Peter talking about our Savior in verse 24. He says, he personally bore our sins in his own body to the tree, as to an altar, and offered himself on it, that we might die or cease to exist to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have come back to the shepherd and guardian, the bishop of your souls. I'm in 1 Peter chapter 2. I mean chapter 1. Sorry, 2. Did I say 2? It's 1. I'm sorry, I said 1 and I did 2. Okay, let's double check, make sure if I made a mistake or if it's a Holy Ghost mistake. 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25. Because all flesh... See, that's my next one. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. Because all flesh, verse 24 of chapter 1, is like grass. Now, if you notice, I'm perfect. I never make mistakes. Right? Because all flesh, mankind, is like grass, and all its glory, honor, like the flowers of grass, the grass withers and the flowers drop off. But the word of the Lord, divine instruction, the gospel, endures forever. And this word is good news, which was preached to you. Now the good news is also on that next level. So I want you to go to chapter 2. And go to verse 24. For For he personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. How do I present myself to the Lord when I can't make certain things happen the way I would like them to, without just simply admitting my disability? I know I'm dying in the flesh. This flesh is definitely on the way out. But God is also saying this soul, because the very last verse, verse 25, says, "For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have come back to the shepherd and guardian of your souls," or bishop of your souls. Depending on which version you have, you'll get a clue. And I was searching the Lord, and I said, okay, what is it that you want me to share with them that will relate to this word? Because I know that he's trying to tell us something. We are here for a season. But our soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions, needs a bishop, an overseer, in order that we won't go into the grass cycle. See, there's a section in the Word of God that says, if you look at it, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that we are to put on life and immortality. We are to put on this life now. We are to become holy on every level, and that's what we struggle for. And that's what Paul was talking about, and that's what St. Peter's talking about. We need somebody to govern over us, and that's why the Holy Spirit was given. And if we rely on the Lord to really transform us and to release healing into us, because he's already made provision. All this dying process that you and I see sometimes, we see it for a season, and all of a sudden, if we stick with the word and declare the truth, you see yourself coming out of hardship. You see something that's been going on for a long time, all of a sudden gets healed. Our sister had a back problem, and all of a sudden, she's been what?
Amen. Healed.
Yes. Now, if you had not known the word and had not applied that word, what do you think would be going on?
Dying.
Well, you'd be suffering and dying and hurting, and God made provision. But if you don't apply that provision, it won't happen. So how did you apply the word for healing?
Well, first of all, for my neck.
Yeah.
Because I had the neck collar and it was holding up my neck.
Right.
I used the word of God that said...
That's okay.
You are the lifter of my head.
You are the lifter of my head. Okay. Because you were hurting.
Yes.
All right. So you declared his promise, and he was the one that was going to do the work.
The collar isn't the lifter.
No.
He is.
He is. So you trusted in his ability. We went to this doctor today with my grandson, and we agreed that God would provide wisdom to this doctor greater than the one that did the surgery, because he mistreated this boy to the point that he told him almost that he's imagining things. And I said, James, just don't get upset, because I understand doctors are limited. They know what they know, and they do what they do, and they're all different. So you're going to find some that are sweeter than others. And the one we got today was a prize from heaven. I mean, he treated him sweet. He let him know that he was not imagining things. He touched those places where he was hurting. He showed him the x-ray on the TV monitor. Not TV monitor, but it looks like one of those. Flat screen monitor. Showed him exactly where he was touching and why he was hurting. So he came out of there with an education. I'm not insane after all. I'm not going to be limping for the rest of my life. I will be able to run again. Now, you got to remember, he's been at this problem since December 27th, 05. What have we got left to go? Are you catching on how many days it took? for the answer to come, and we haven't got the solution yet because it's not complete. Now, it's complete as far as future. Now, there's a little more work to be done, but he's so excited because he's not insane. In his own mind, he started to question his sanity. You know, and after a whole year, you'd start questioning too. Now, I'm not picking on doctors. I love doctors. But you understand, there are some that are going to be doing an awesome work for God and for man, some that are doing it for the right heart, and others that are doing it for other hearts. Will this rich man, or will that rich person, woman, man, child, adult, older person, will they succeed if they keep persevering?
Yes.
Why? Because there's a law at work. The law of receiving for hard work has been going on for a long time. Is there another law at work in your flesh? Has the, let's say, the fruit of sin that was all of those ancestors coming down the highway, going back 6,000 years, has that fruit still proceeding to go forward? Yes. So the dying of humanity has been going on for 6,000 years. And we look at the grass every fall, and we look at the flowers, and they're confirming everything dies. Right? So we look at each other and say, well, surely you're going to die. You're getting older. Look at you. And every time you look in the mirror, you get a confirmation. All right? But God says there's a day that I'm going to turn it around. There's a day that I'm going to flip this thing over. But you've got to change your way of thinking. You've got to change your mind and change the way that you respond to yourself. Just like Jim was able to take that word from that doctor. We sat in the car and he says, you know, so I have faith in this man. He's going to be able to complete the job that the other guy didn't do right. Okay? And kind of did the best he could. I'm not trying to blame game now. But I am saying, if he would have taken a little more wisdom, my grandson might not have suffered these past extra 8 or 9 months. This thing should have been repaired probably last spring. Okay? But he never went that extra mile. And I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, this was God's doing. Now, in this process, James has learned some awesome things. Weren't comfortable for him, but today he was looking to the Lord out of this hardship to find a solution. That was his first step. We needed to pray. And we bowed our heads and we agreed in prayer, and God brought the solution. Why the hardships and the difficulties? If you check James chapter 1, you'll see. It's to bring maturity. Now, he's all of 21. And at 21, I don't know if I would have had the courage to go to my grandfather's house and sit down next to him and say, you know, got that doctor's appointment today. I would have probably been looking at the girls on TV. Well, being honest, right? But see, the Lord is telling us in his word that we have a bishop, an overseer of our souls, and he is available to us to correct us so that we don't keep on dying for the next generation. And our generation can be changed. We can have an effect by the words we speak, James chapter 3. You can actually activate life back into your own body. The lifter of your head is Jesus Christ. And he did deliver. Now, you waited quite a few, but you trusted. You activated your faith by going forward. The same applies to this body. This body was not designed to die. It was designed to replenish itself. And there's many, many good things that the Lord will keep on revealing to his people as we trust him to reveal those things. And yes, the scripture says, at some point, even death will be swallowed up. So what am I saying to you today? If you keep looking at yourself and you remind yourself that you're like the flowers of the field, Well, it's going to give you a wake-up call and bring you all kinds of, I am dying, ain't I? But if you look at God's word and the promise of having an overseer to change your mind about yourself, well, why don't you start now? Why do you wait till you're sick? Anybody get a clue why we wait till we're sick? When we're sick, we go, oh, I got to find an answer, right? But you see, I'm saying to you and for me, I'm not just saying it to you, I'm saying it to me too, get a solution. Start changing your message to yourself. I'm getting better every day. I'm getting stronger every day. God's word is exposing the enemy every day. And I'm kicking butt because I want the enemy out of the way. Right? Yeah? His bad thoughts that keep telling me that I'm going to die tomorrow, next week, next month. Wouldn't he love to have you dead now? Wouldn't he like to kill you last year? Well, think about it. If he had you kicking the bucket a year ago, you wouldn't be giving out the word of God today. Yeah. How many lives have changed in the past year because of your mouth declaring God's word? How many lives have been adjusted or readjusted because you obeyed the Holy Spirit and gave words of life? Now you wonder why the enemy's upset with you. Well, it's true, Andy. Why do you think he's upset with you? Because you obeyed the Lord and you gave out life instead of death. Uh-huh. Yeah? When you were praying for your enemies instead of burying them with your left foot, what were you doing? Irritating who? Yeah. Who's the enemy of your soul? Yeah, and all his little friends. And they love to get you discouraged about yourself and about others. But the Holy Spirit, which is the bishop of your soul, he's overseeing everything about your mind, your will, and emotions. Think about that. Close your eyes for a moment. Say, the bishop of my soul is the Lord. His Holy Spirit is alive inside of me. He's teaching me about my soul. What I think about. What I actually concentrate on. And the things I believed about myself. Do I make plans for death tomorrow? Or do I make plans for life? Do I speak death to myself tomorrow? Or do I speak life to myself tomorrow? The Holy Spirit is the counselor and the overseer of my soul. My mind, my will, and my emotions are being watched by the Holy Ghost. And I should ask him lots of questions about the real me. The real me will never die. The real spirit within me is in the image of my Savior, Jesus Christ. It is exactly like him. And it wants to direct my future. If I let it. It's up to me. So Holy Spirit, I give you the ability and the freedom to talk to me. You made lips. You can talk. You made ears. I can hear. And I will hear you. And I choose to obey the directions to how to adjust my soul and my body. Because my soul and my body were under the anointing of death. Now they're coming forth into an anointing of life. And the words I speak to myself can change my tomorrows. It's up to me. I need your grace, Lord.
Thank you, grace.
Because without grace, I can't do it.
Thank you.